Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm, Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce. If you missed any of the first hour, you can download that. The Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app. She'll let you rewind. Fast forward, check out different chapters, except for going to the future. That would be impossible. Also, thetubeofyou.com/1051thefan. You can hang out with us over there as well. We're talking about gateway drugs and instruments.
You want one?
I'm ready for a beer. Do I want one of those?
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I had coffee.
In case you guys are wondering, when I said I didn't have energy drinks, I had six of them delivered.
Dude. I got breaking news. All right.
Put it on the board.
Justin Fields has returned to practice, and if he is cleared, will start on Sunday.
And you picked the Jets to win.
Damn right, brother.
Why?
Damn right, brother. Because I have zero faith in the Miami Dolphins, and I want to throw a bone for my buddy Jake.
Look, I know Jake's a huge Jets fan, J-A-T-S, Jets. But as you were saying that, and you were telling him you were going to pick the Jets, Jake got very excited about it because he hates the Dolphins.
He does.
And I looked at Jake and I go, Justin Fields is starting.
I might have started Tyrod, honestly.
I was just like, there's not a world you can convince me where, even if the Jets win this game, that they're better off with Justin Fields.
I agree. But what I was saying, honestly, the big reason why I took
it's
them,
because you just think the Dolphins suck.
I do. Also, I think
I agree.
I think Aaron Glenn, and this may be something we'll get into tomorrow or next week, talking culture kind of stuff.
Let's see how the game goes.
Yeah. Fair enough. But that, you know, you can relate that to a lot of other places. I mean, would you rather have Oregon's culture right now or Penn State's culture right now? I'd rather have Oregon's, and I don't think it's close.
Would you?
I would.
Real quick.
The Lanning era culture.
Okay, but the Franklin era culture, who won in the college football playoff last year?
Penn State did.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Just putting that out there for as much as the duck honk here, duck, quack. And as much as we fault Penn State, who went further?
Understood. I could also sit here and argue that Oregon got hosed in the seeding of the teams they had to play.
Okay.
And Penn State did not. Okay. What I'm trying to say.
Just pointing that out.
Is that culture can do some things that sometimes players on the field can't.
100%, I agree.
Aaron Glenn is getting there.
Yes.
I think Aaron Glenn is, I'm absolutely seeing it. They almost won that game this weekend against Tampa Bay. They almost won that game.
Yeah, and then somebody decided to spice up old Baker again, and there you go.
Well, and Baker's trying to win an MVP.
I saw a stat from one of the NFL analytics guys that basically has Baker as the second best quarterback in the NFL this year, behind Josh Allen.
Well, yeah, and I think statistically he is.
But not just like the raw stats, but his ability to extend plays. He is
the weird advanced metrics.
He has quote unquote denied 5 sacks by escaping.
Love it.
And on all 5 of those, he has made a plus play.
Love it.
And it's like, okay, babe.
To where I saw any passes over like 15 yards by Bo Nix.
10.
Over 10 yards. He has like a 35% uncatchable throw.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't good.
No. And he had multiple picks.
Mm-hmm.
It was like,
Yeah.
So that's my reasoning why I'm like, yeah, I'll take the Jets in that. Sure, why not? I like the culture.
You want to get into some hot Arizona Cardinals, Seattle Seahawks?
Look, dude, I'm probably looking at this game a lot different than most people. Like, Seattle, get in, get out, get a win, adios. That's it.
I took Seattle.
I'm taking Seattle. I feel very confident about
it's only,
it.
It's only a 0.5 line, so I don't even get, it's basically a pick 'em, and I was just like, I didn't like, I'm in a pick 'em league, and so he was one of the pick 'em teams, and I have a rule that I bet my pick 'em teams too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay.
So you cross over. Yeah. Like, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah. If you're going to do this, dummy. And right now I'm second in my pick 'em pool out of like 35 people. I'm 11-4 or 12-3. I can't remember. But I'm doing well. And this week, there wasn't a single line outside of Minnesota -2.5 that I liked. I was like, everything else here, I don't like. I don't like any of this.
Well, going into this game, and I completely understand, and I'm not the biggest fan of Thursday night football games. I think most of us are not. However, we fall victim to the NFL being the NFL. So we're going to tune into it because, look, Army East Carolina does not have the juice in it for me tonight. So I will have Thursday night football on and then probably use my laptop and watch some baseball. The reason I feel confident about a Seattle team is because I've seen them. Look, the game against the Niners was bad, and it was bad on both ends. It's a division rivalry. It's week one.
That game is always ugly between those two teams.
But they look good against the Steelers, and they look good against the Saints. I mean, everybody looks good against the Saints, but you still have to execute. You still have to look good. Going into this, I haven't seen much from Arizona that tells me they can really put that together. That offense seems very sluggish.
Clunky.
Very clunky to where Seattle, I'm seeing it. It's not Josh.
No.
But I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it slowly churn the butter.
So because I'm a person who likes my money, I always do research before I make my picks.
That's why I don't gamble, because I like my money.
Yeah, see, I like my money, but I always like to find, okay, where is there a line? So I had four games that I'd already picked. I have to pick five every week. And so I'm going, of all these lines, I like Seattle probably the I don't want to say the best. It was the least worst.
Of
the lines that were available.
Well, yeah,
because I'm not touching 16.5 for Buffalo. I don't care.
What's the line in the Chargers game?
Let me see. Hold on. I just had it. Chargers.
We'll get to them in a minute.
Chargers. Scroll. So it was only 6.5.
I'd hammer that.
I took it.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's undefeated against rookie quarterbacks tonight. He wins by an average of like 6.8 points. So I took
Rattler's not a rookie.
Not Rattler. Dart.
Oh, duh.
Chargers
duh.
Giants.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Brain fart there.
No. But on the Seahawks Cardinals line, I found this note from PFF. And they're talking about Sam Darnold and his development as a quarterback, particularly as it pertains to the play action, which with Seattle's coach...
McDonald.
I always want to say McDaniels. I'm like, no, that's not him. He's not stupid.
There's
too many mixes here.
Yeah.
But he has a 92.5 play action grade, which is fourth in the NFL. Which, again, when you set Sam Darnold up well, we saw this in Minnesota. He does well.
And McDonald wants to run the ball
in Seattle. And that's what it's kind of based off of. So he's completing 90% of his throws, again, through three games, on play actions over 10 yards or more. So the anti-Bo Nix in that sense. The Cardinals secondary is 25th in the league at EPA, so expected points added or adjusted, per pass play on play action plays, while surrendering a perfect 100% completion percentage on play action plays of 10 yards. So of all play action plays.
Shut the front door.
So you're looking
if
at
if you get play action pass, you are 100% guaranteed to, I mean, not really, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
You are 100% guaranteed to execute that.
So there's certainly through only...
That's a bad stat.
Yes.
That's a really bad stat.
So certainly there's always noise when you have limited data sets.
Of course,
only
it's three games.
So you're probably talking about an average, I would say probably 7 play action plays. I'm pulling a number out of my head. So out of 21, that's a very limited sample size. Again, I'm just throwing this out there. They could go, you know, they could make Seattle go 1-for-7 and all of a sudden they jump up in the standings from being complete dog water to at least being average. But that's what I call, you know, or what, you know, when you're looking at this, you call outlier markers. And if you see enough outlier markers or an outlier marker that's like, you're like, yeah, that's due for a regression, but also it's so far outside the norm that it's more than luck.
But let's take your, you know, our hypothetical average here of 7 per game of three games. One is against a Mac Jones 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
One is against a Bryce Young Panthers and a Spencer Rattler Saints. None of those offenses right now are anything worth
bad
juice.
Teams. So they're already doing that against, and that's where I was going to go with this, is that their track record with that number, they aren't playing Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow, or Patrick Mahomes, or insert great, or Justin Herbert, or insert
or, great. Or a mid-range quarterback, no. An old Rodgers, or a healthy Brock Purdy.
Or Geno.
Or Geno.
Like a
or,
guy who thrives on that.
Yeah, or a semi-banged-up Matt Stafford.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Looking at that, that was my okay. And the he is also, Darnold has generated the highest yards per attempt average on play action throws of over 14 yards per game.
This is a recipe for disaster.
So something's going to give here. Either this is a faulty outlier and the Cardinals are going to, they know this. And they're going to really scheme this up and make sure that personnel-wise, scheme-wise, that they're going to be more disciplined and they're going to see the regression back to the mean. Or this is a true problem for Arizona, and this is something that the Seahawks, who are also going to know this, look at this, that, remember, I mean, NFL games in particular, it's three or four games. It's three or four games that break a game more often than not, right? Traditionally in the NFL,
you can usually break it down to a couple plays.
It's 5 points. That's your traditional margin of victory, margin of defeat. That's one or two plays. If you want to stretch it and say like it's three or four, what do those plays usually come out of? Play action.
Yeah, and that's why it's so funny when we talk about coaches that, well, they want to run the football. Do we know any coaches in the NFL that don't want to run the football? Andy Reid?
I mean, in college, sure.
Right. But doesn't every NFL coach start with, well, it starts with establishing the run because then it opens up our passing? It's like, I think it's funny that we're like, well, McDonald, he wants to run the ball.
Yeah.
I think everybody does.
Yeah, but there are certainly coaches that want to run the ball more. I mean, we all thought, coming in this year.
Oh, like a Harbaugh wants to run the ball more than anybody
but
else.
But that hasn't been true this year. He has unleashed Herbert.
That is true. And we will get to that in about a half
so,
hour.
So, like, again, looking at the data sets and kind of what's available, this is what I do when I gamble is if I haven't done as much, because I'm not diving into the Cardinals. That's not.
I don't know. It sounds like you just did.
But I did. That's why I did. When I was looking at this, I'm just like, but all of this is being said, this is going to be a dog water game.
I don't expect it to be. I mean, Seattle, I expect them to win, and I think that offense has a little juice to it, but it's not a sexy juice. It's not a Bills juice. I think we're on the record pretty clearly of where we sit with Kyler Murray. We're both in different sides of it. Where do we sit with Marvin Harrison Jr.?
He's been quiet.
He's been really quiet. But he wasn't super quiet last year. Is it an effect of this Gannon offense? Is it an effect of where I live in the world that I don't find Kyler very great? Or
he's been fine, but he hasn't been good.
Not three overall. Wasn't he third overall, fourth overall? He seems undersized to me, too.
Seems?
Yeah.
I mean, he is.
I know, but like...
Yeah, he's a little man.
But I mean, like, littler than I thought.
No, Bryce Young is littler than you thought.
I think he's the same size that
no,
I thought.
No, no, no. Well, okay. I thought you were saying the same size as Kyler. I'm like, No.
I'm not saying that.
I love that
Sometimes
narrative.
I forget that Kyler and Russ are about the same
size.
Yes, I mean... But Russ plays bigger.
But also, Kyler...
Or he played
Kyler's short,
bigger.
But he's not light.
No.
He's a little tank.
Yeah, so I'm curious. You know, we're split on where Kyler is, and I don't know what to feel about Marvin Harrison. You know, I feel like wide receivers in the NFL, like especially if you come out that highly touted and have that great of a college career, you should be able to figure out, you know, like how many times do you hit on a wide receiver late in a draft pick? Frequently. I think it happens frequently.
Oh, God, yes.
To see a wide receiver go in the top five and not hit... My first thought is never to go to the wide receiver. My first thought is to go to the offensive scheme or the quarterback.
I'm going to pull this up.
So I don't know if I'm ready to bail on Marvin Jr. quite.
So Marvin Harrison Jr. currently by PFF grade is the 68th rated wide receiver, sliding in between Jaden Higgins and Calvin Austin.
Kazuntite.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think safe to say you were expecting a bit more there.
I am. But again, I will say this again. I don't know if it's schematics. Or if it's, you know, where I live in the world of Kyler Murray. Because I live in a world of Kyler Murray is not my guy. Or it's playing for the Cardinals. That maybe that administration, however you want to describe it, is maybe not the best fit for down there. But maybe the personnel is not the best fit for what the schematics want from the administrators. I think that's why it's an easy for me to take the Hawks in this game is that I just, there's not, I haven't seen a lot of what the Cardinals do well consistently. They were in a fight against the Niners last week. I thought that safety from Mac Jones in the end zone, despite thinking that holding call was weak, I thought that was going to seal the deal, and it didn't.
So this is Marvin Harrison through three games. 6 targets, 5 catches, 71 yards, week one. Week two, 4 targets, 2 catches, 27 yards. Week three, 6 targets, 3 catches, 44 yards.
I don't know how to stick up for that.
One touchdown.
I don't know how to stick up for that. As always, you can catch Seahawks games right here on 105.1 The Fan Sports Network. Pre-game coverage will start at 3 o'clock right after Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. So no prime time today, my friends. But hey, go back and listen to yesterday's if you want. They'll be back tomorrow with Dan Lanning and Joey Harrington. But make sure you tune in here for all your Seahawk needs every game day right here on The Fan. Plus, you get Rabel. Not Vrabel.
Yes, Rabel, not Rabel. Vrabel. Mm.
I feel so stupid.
Holy catfish!
That guy's so good, dude. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll watch baseball on TV and just rock the radio call on 105.1 The Fan.
There you go.
For the Seahawks game. All right, we come back. Ryder Cup starts tomorrow. Can we get it? Can we talk ourselves into a USA?
Or USA, or, USA, USA.
Or can I talk you into some just straight up rivalries that could be a lot of fun? We'll do that America. Next. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll take a peek at Ravens-Chiefs today a little bit. I actually want to talk more a little Chiefs culture. We'll have Web Gems at 11:45. We debut 10 Toes Down at 12:15 today. So get your questions in for us, 503-864-6326 or the YouTube chat. Something we have to unequivocally find an answer on in life, sports, whatever you want it to be. Some thoughts rolling in. Harrison Jr.'s numbers are almost identical to DK Metcalf this year. I like where you're going on that. But what I'll say is, and I'm not sure the context behind it, but what I'll say is that DK Metcalf is a proven commodity to me to where, so I look at that more as maybe schematic and quarterback play to where Harrison Jr. is kind of like, I haven't seen him do it, so I can't give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, although DK has already proven it. He's already done it.
Yeah, although I think Harrison is probably the same situation as DK. Because I love this thought on the YouTube chat as well. And this might be most apropos to how I feel about Kyler Murray. Kyler is a great football player. I just don't think his game translates in today's NFL very well, especially with his height and tendency to break the pocket really fast. I think that is an excellent point, and that might be the best way to sum up my issues with Kyler Murray.
I think Kyler
Murray clearly an athlete.
Was a great college football player.
He got one of them little statues
that doesn't translate well to the NFL.
See, I think we're moving the bar there a little bit because he's clearly better than most quarterbacks.
I don't know. We did a challenge of this, and I named 15 guys I'd rather have than him.
Yeah, but you also had guys on that list that had no business being there.
According to you.
I think according to the majority of football fans.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. There's three or four on there. But I'm talking in general. If you're asking a team if they had the field or Kyler Murray in any given draft period or something along those lines, they're going to take Kyler. They're just going to.
From a draft perspective?
From just an overall talent output perspective. He's better than most.
Let's see.
Just didn't mean it, like, again, you're making me defend Kyler Murray and I don't like it.
Dude, you picked that. You picked that a long time ago.
God.
His career high in passing yards for a season is just under 4,000 yards, 3,971. That was in year two.
And he ran for like, what, 500 yards?
Let me see if I can find the rushing numbers. Those are somewhere else, but anywho.
Nick Bosa went right after him. Who? Daniel Jones at six?
Yeah, would you rather have Daniel Jones or Kyler Murray? Don't do
I'd rather
that.
Have Kyler Murray.
Thank you.
I'd rather have Kyler Murray.
119 touchdowns on his career versus 58 interceptions. Mm-hmm.
Dude, Dwayne Haskins was taken in that draft. R.I.P.
Like, again, I'm not this huge Kyler Murray
fan.
Wow,
only three quarterbacks. Well, to your point, in that draft, Kyler Murray or the field, yeah, I'm taking Kyler Murray.
But I think in most drafts, you're taking Kyler Murray.
This thing had me so confused. The linebacker Josh Allen was drafted out of Kentucky by Jacksonville, and I was like, this is so wrong. He didn't go to Kentucky, nor does he play offensive line.
Yeah,
or outside linebacker.
So in that second season where he threw for just short of 4,000 yards, he ran for 819 and had 11 rushing touchdowns.
Side note, I'm looking at this 2019 draft. Woof. Absolute woof.
Yeah, no, it's rough. It's one of those drafts you go back and go, yikes, dog. But like, you're telling me you've got a quarterback that throws for 4,000, rushes for almost 1,000, and has, what was it, 40 touchdowns that year?
Dude, it gets better, too. And the second round is Drew Lock.
Yeah, it's tough.
That is a rough, rough quarterback year.
Yeah, he had 37 touchdowns and almost 5,000 yards of total offense.
Some of that's Lincoln Riley, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you can say that for any quarterback, damn near.
Will Greer in the third round out of West V.
There you go. Yikes, I'm Ben.
Beth Page this weekend for the Ryder Cup. You know, I think golf might be the one thing that I don't, like, puff my chest about USA. Because it is such an international sport, and I think it's weird that it's USA versus Europe. It seems very arrogant.
Exclusionary?
Yeah.
What about everybody else?
What about the Asian community? There's a ton of great Asian golfers.
Yeah. You got Africa, you've got Asia, you've got two whole other continents.
Totally. Well, what, totally.
South America?
But the President's Cup, which is like the opposite years or whatever, is USA versus the world and not USA versus Europe.
Yeah. I think everybody's rooting for a Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy face-off.
Yeah.
Just
two bombers that are prone to blowing up.
And I am rooting for Rory McIlroy in that one.
I'm not.
I can't get behind Bryce.
I was not a Bryson guy. Now I am.
I know you are.
I am
the most
now.
Non-shocking thing in the world.
No, but I'm coming around too because he has done basically, he's done the lean into it. Well, he's doing the reverse heel turn.
Yeah. Just leaning into just being a dude.
Lane Kiffin reverse
heel
turn.
Yeah, he's going from being an a-hole to being at least a lot less a-hole.
I do agree that he is coming around.
Yeah.
And he's lost a bunch of weight. He looks a lot better. I think it's just, he's got a lot of Patrick Reed in him where I just don't like
Oh,
you.
Don't do that. Don't like he's you. Not that.
Well, he's not a cheater like Reed.
Not just that. He's not a grump.
He kind of pouts a lot.
But
he's got some Eli Manning, like, walking off the field.
He definitely has that. He definitely has that. But he's fun, though. Patrick Reed has never been fun. Patrick Reed has never been once had fun in his life.
Bryson is fun if you like a heel. Bryson is fun that he will tell you to F off and do his own thing.
But see, I don't think he does that anymore.
Yeah, no, he's becoming more of like the people's champ.
It's kind of become John Daly-esque, and like he's just him now.
I mean, if he starts drinking and ripping heaters on the course, then that's another question.
Well, yeah.
What are you doing on that contouter?
Oh God, I love him. Every time I see a TikTok when John Daly just appears, I'm like, well, I'm locked in. It's like full lean forward. Let's see what old John's gonna do now.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch the Ryder Cup. I mean,
are you actually gonna watch?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah, I will. Dirt asked me the question. He was like, dude, why do you like golf? You don't even play golf.
And I should have it turned on in the studio tomorrow. It'll be on.
It will. It
starts
will be on.
4 a.m. our time.
Brother, I have the practice.
You've had practice on for 3 days straight behind me. I'll give you that.
I think it's probably mainly because he didn't change the station.
So Dirt always puts it on Hulu, and Hulu is always behind and laggy and doesn't work for
whatever
reason.
Or it's like get up, good morning football, or...
Yeah, and so I always flip it over to YouTube TV and put it on, and it never does the hiccups that the Hulu live stream does, so...
It's Saturday, like I need more things to watch on Saturday.
Yeah, you literally just told me that I have
Liverpool at 7 a.m., yeah. And my day is going to end at like 11:30 at night.
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Buckle up.
It's kind of fun.
Buckle up.
Yeah, because you have to watch on replay now. 2 weeks in a row. Do you have a wedding coming up next week, maybe?
I should pull up my calendar.
Yeah, you better not have any fall weddings. Otherwise, you have terrible friends.
Let's see. I do. This isn't friends. This is in-laws.
I'm just saying friends and family.
My wife and I had a...
I'm free next weekend, according.
We had a fall wedding. We were the Earth, Wind, and Fire Day, the 21st night of September.
Mm.
And I remember I went back and I looked at the Oregon schedule from that year, and they only played Portland State.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
But again, like, still.
Yeah, I'm hosed.
I mean, I got married on the 28th of September, but it was during COVID, so sports weren't being played.
I know. And the time window in which I have to go back to,
Real convenient.
It's the worst time real window convenient. To go back to. Yeah. If anybody knows this answer, I could look it up, but I don't know how to phrase it best in Google. If I record multiple things at the same time on YouTube TV.
You want to watch a replay while watching live.
Yes.
So one box on live.
Well, the
one
three
box.
Games I want to record are all at the same time. Yeah. And the scroll at the bottom will tell me what the hell's going on in the other game. Mm-hmm. Or I just got to what? Put a big piece of masking tape on my TV at the bottom?
Yeah.
I mean, I could TV one and laptop another and phone another. I mean, I guess I could do that.
The fact that you can't click a ticker off in your TV coverage and sports coverage is kind of interesting.
No, I think it's because more...
Is that the next step?
No, I think it's because more often than not, we want the ticker there. I think it is very few situations in which you don't want it
to be like, oh, I need to go check out this game right
now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once I see... Because I'm watching the Oregon State game.
But if I want to turn ticker off, it should be an option.
Who is it? I'm watching Oregon State, Fresno State, okay? And I saw on the ticker that Troy was up big on Clemson, and I was like...
Sure.
Goodbye,
saying,
Oregon State. Should I am you changing have, the channel?
Should you have the option to turn ticker off?
Oh yeah, definitely. In today's
that's
world,
what I'm saying.
You should have the option.
Screw it, I'm gonna put a poll up.
I mean, some of them. I think Xfinity for the longest time let you put one on the side. Like they would let you have your own like ticker on the side where you could customize it yourself and have like your teams at the top and.
Well, I know right now they have like that C button. That if you hit that, it shows you the different various live sporting events that are available for you to watch.
Oh, on cable?
Go,
on cable?
On Xfinity, yeah. And so you can go and based on if you want NCAA football or NFL or NBA or MLB, what have you. I think they also now, this season, I've noticed, at least during college football, Xfinity has their first ever multi-box.
Oh, I mean, welcome to the times, bro.
Right, yeah.
Multi-box on YouTube is great if you have four games.
Well, see, yeah, and the thing is, I don't think they let you choose which games. They just put it up and say, here are your four games.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Boy, when they crumble, they crumble. Big, big game. The biggest game of the weekend between two 1-2 teams. Someone will come out of it 1-3. Where is the cause of concern? Because I think it lies solely in Kansas City. We'll go there next. But first, the big kahuna with sports.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Every time you walk by, your back hit a chip.
10 Toes Down debuts at 12:15. Questionings, we got some rolling in right now. Things we will unequivocally take a stand on. Sports, non-sports. We'll have fun with that. That'll be our new Thursday action. Web Gems is next. And in the third hour, we'll get to 3-0 teams versus 0-3 teams. We'll have a little fun with that game. Are there 0-3 teams that you trust? Are there 3-0 teams that you don't trust? So we'll have some fun there. But one of these teams is going to go to 3 losses on Sunday. It's the biggest game of the week. And that would be the Baltimore Ravens visiting the Kansas City Chiefs. And I have to be careful with this because last time we talked about the potential loss of a Baltimore Ravens, I poo-pooed it and poo-pooed the team that could potentially do it. I will not make that mistake again, for new information creates new opinions and new situations.
Mm.
I don't know who needs to win this game. Like, you want a 10 toes down who has to win this game? I think I know where I'm going. But a 1-3 Baltimore would be very, very bad. A 1-3 Chiefs, it's over.
And that's where I ultimately went with my pick.
With the whole, I
pick Baltimore to win because I think the Chiefs are done.
And I'll
eat my crow on Monday when they Undertaker this thing, and it was just the first couple games of the season, and the Chiefs do the Chiefs thing. They've looked like crap the first 3 weeks.
In Luke Anderson's pick and poll, I took Kansas City just because I feel they will be more desperate. I have faith in Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh riding this ship.
That offense has been insane.
Especially the division they play in. Kansas City, look, I try not to read too much into like the Travis Kelce yelling at Andy Reid thing.
I don't care about that.
There's so much of that happens in the NFL that's just not caught on camera. But because it's Travis Kelce, it's always caught on camera. And remember, he was blowing up when they lost and blowing up when they won.
Yeah.
That's just high-stakes competition.
That's just who he is. He's on edge at all times.
But it does feel a little cookie crumble over there.
Angsty.
It feels like we were able to rest on our laurels and our talent, and we don't have that anymore. Laurels, talent, pedigree, and coaching. Now, the coaching is still there. But it feels like everything else is starting to kind of just get chipped away at. You know, they should have blown out New York way more than they did. Maybe that's a weird Sunday night game going all the way to the East Coast. Could be something like that. Something just doesn't feel right about that moxie that Kansas City holds.
Why?
I think it's lack of depth in the receiver area. And Mahomes hasn't made another guy a stud, and maybe it's Mahomes.
That's what I'm wondering.
I'm still
great.
And he will be great for another 8-10 years.
But is his level of greatness no longer...
Has he peaked?
Is he no longer the guy that is unabashedly the guy that is going to chase Tom Brady for the greatest quarterback of all time? It's not a backhand. It's not a, oh, you don't have it anymore. It's like, no, you're not potentially the best quarterback to ever play this game. You're maybe the second or third best. You know what I mean? It's like some Chiefs fan right now is screaming at his radio. He's still got it. How dare you? They don't have a receiver. They need Rashee Rice. It's like, that's not what I'm saying.
I don't think he's done by any means.
God, no.
But one thing that Mahomes has done and has done well and has struggled with is the evolution of his game. First Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes is very different than the last Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes. The first loss in the Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes is very different than the last loss in the Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes. I think we might just be in a world where he's going to need to change again, his style, looking at it. And that whole team's culture might need to change and just maybe schematics and plays like Andy Reid. Look, Andy Reid finally got the right pieces together, and Andy Reid is a Hall of Fame coach, one of the best to ever do it. But Andy Reid stuck to his guns in Philly, and it cost him his job there. And I don't think he's getting fired anytime soon in Kansas City, nor should he. He's deserved and earned that route. But his concepts, the way he approaches the offense, might be time to go. It might be time and bring somebody in. Now, whoever takes that job, boy, don't hire me. I'm not interested in that. But that might be what we're looking at, that get Kelce to retire. Let's find a new identity on offense.
Remember, we went through this with Brady.
We did.
I was just going to say. Because they, the Belichick-Brady thing, that didn't stay the same thing for 20-plus years. No. There were different iterations and different models.
The Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, Belichick era was very different than the Josh McDaniels, Matt Patricia era.
So, yeah. So, we're just seeing, I think, the end of this iteration of championship Chiefs, but they can still evolve and change in the same vein as the Patriots.
I also love this text, 503-864-6326. Baltimore's beaten themselves. KC's been beaten. Firmly agreed.
Yes, because Baltimore has scored an insane amount of points in basically every game.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense has just been humming. Their defense has been cheeks. Absolute cheeks. And Derrick Henry is, you know, holding on to the ball like it's a wet mushroom. But like those are solvable. I don't think outside of the Chiefs getting, you know, A.J. Brown instead of Hollywood Brown, their wide receiver core get, like, if you're telling me that the one thing holding the Chiefs back is Rishi Rice.
No, you're not watching games.
You're out of your freaking mind.
You're not watching games. I mean, the run game is non-existent, et cetera. I love this on the YouTube. I think he's past the Josh Allen point where you can just put the game on your shoulders and know that two-minute drive is a success. He's in the early LeBron Laker point guard phase, I think. You calling him a system quarterback?
I don't think we're that far yet.
I see it, though.
He's not.
I understand.
He's not Miami LeBron. He's second tour Cleveland LeBron.
Because
Miami LeBron.
Second tour LeBron Cleveland was pretty good.
It was pretty damn good. Won a title. Like,
pretty damn good.
But like Miami LeBron, the only more physically dominant player in the history of my life was Shaq.
But I think to this listener's point and where we're going in this, Mahomes, is the reinvention that maybe he needs to play smarter and less gunslinger.
Yeah.
You can go out like Favre. Favre.
The other side of that is Favre did evolve.
He did.
He did evolve.
But he still kept some of his identity.
You can't take all the stripes off the tiger.
You can't, no.
But, you know, As you get older, those stripes can get a little lighter, you know?
They can fade a little bit.
Fade a little bit.
Sitting in the sun every day.
Yeah, that can happen. And I think you can probably get that with Mahomes. But I picked the Ravens in this game. I didn't like it. Part of me is I hate the Chiefs so much, and I want them to crash and burn into the side of the mountain, and I'm going to point and laugh and be like, ha, 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 you won all those titles, and now you're not. Oh, crap, you won all those titles. That sucks. But also, I do believe that you know, dynasties, when they crash, they come cratering down and it's bad and it's awful, but they're not cooked because you still have Mahomes. And until proven that he's cooked, which I don't think we're going to get for another handful of years, they'll be fine in the long run. I just don't think that they're that team this year.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think it's time to hit the reset on that and figure something out. I don't know what the reset necessarily looks at, but I think it's time for it. We come back, Web Gems, everybody's favorite, 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Now, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
Big 12 o'clock hour here as we'll get into 3 and overs, 0-3. 10 toes down, get your questions in. Sports, life, something we have unequivocally have answers for you. Plus closing arguments to send you on your way. But this is Web Gems. Do it every single day at 11:45. And I wanted to ask this question that we seem to continue to ask, but I would like... I think I'm going to keep asking this question until we all believe it. Have you seen enough from Justin Herbert? As Jim Harbaugh was on some show that used to be on in this time slot, and Harbaugh said, there's my own personal ranking, and it's my right to have my own personal ranking, so I'm going to preface this with that. It's not anybody else's but mine. But I've always considered myself the toughest quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Being around Justin Herbert, I have moved to number 2 in the rankings. Justin Herbert is the toughest quarterback in the history of the National Football League.
I don't know about that.
Look, I'm not asking is he right or wrong. And you're going to stick behind your guy.
Also, but I do believe Harbaugh was tough as nails.
But I understand that Harbaugh is going to stick up for his guy. Well, he always does.
Harbaugh he also loves hyperbole.
I know he does.
He also said J.J. McCarthy was the best quarterback he'd ever seen.
I know this until he got to Justin Herbert.
Uh-huh.
I am, as crazy as Harbaugh is, I'm starting to lean his way as well.
I'm not, look.
I know we're only 3 weeks in the season.
Not
I know
only that,
we're at week four.
If Justin Herbert's going to go out there and play a game on a shredded knee, okay, we can talk. If he's going to go out there and play with one hand, if he's going to go out there and play with like 18 Toradol injections, great.
Hey, I am not saying I'm with Harbaugh that he's the toughest, but
if you're asking me the toughest quarterback of the modern era, it's not Harbaugh, it's Favre.
After that Saints loss in Minnesota.
I mean, go down the
Rivers once played in an AFC championship with a torn ACL.
Favre was addicted to painkillers because of how beat up he was.
That's true.
Like, that dude got in an era where you got jacked
hit.
Up. Yes. There was a show called Dak Jacked Up.
Steve Young took a lot of punishment.
Yeah, like, that era of dudes got destroyed.
But that's not what I'm saying. I don't think Herbert's one of those guys because I haven't really seen him get destroyed a
like,
lot.
This is not a criticism of Herbert. I've never seen her. I don't. When I think of Herbert, do I think of him being tough? Sure. But do I think of him as being like the toughest or near the toughest in the league? No. I look at Josh Allen, a guy who throws his body on the line all the time and has a freaking face shield on because his nose got busted open. It's just like consistently doing stupid stuff and putting himself in positions where he could get hit and get hurt. Herbert runs occasionally, puts his shoulder down. Josh Allen looks to deliver punishment. You know what I mean?
And I think Justin only runs when he's sealing the game.
You know what I mean? Like, and again, these aren't criticisms of him.
Right.
But I think Harbaugh, I think he said something along the lines that he could be the best quarterback in the league. I think he said that last year. He said something along those lines. That I think is an open conversation. But
and I think that's what I'm getting at. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's the toughest quarterback in the NFL, not even currently.
Toughness is not something I question with him, but it's not like the first seven traits right. I get to when I'm talking about him.
But I think what we're getting at is, and this is what Harbaugh is getting at, he's just, as this texter points out 2 weeks ago, he said Derwin James was the best safety of all time. What point do we believe he's just clouding his guys? I 100% believe he's just clouding his guys. But now we're starting to add little things to Justin's game that are going to start ticking boxes to put him in MVP conversations, to put him in the same tier as Joe and Mahomes and Josh and Lamar. That doesn't become Justin as well. And I think that's what Harbaugh is getting to, is that how many more boxes does Herbert need to check? Right now, we're looking at a playoff win, and that might be it. That might be it.
That's what defines Griffin.
I don't need you to win an MVP for me to tell you you're a top five quarterback. I don't. I don't need you to win an MVP in any sport for me to tell you you're a top five player in baseball. Top five hitter in Major League Baseball is Jose Ramirez. He is not winning an MVP. So I don't need that. But Herbert's starting to check boxes here and there and get to a point where outside of playoff wins, which last time I checked, Lamar's not very good at, those are the questions we're going to have to start asking. And that's when things really change for him. And we're year two of Harbaugh, and everything always changes. You talk about year two of Jed Fish, I'm talking year two of Harbaugh. Things really dramatically change.
Yeah. No, I think you're seeing, and this was what has been so shocking to me about the Chargers this year, is that we expected Harbaugh ball. We expected Michigan ball.
I think Harbaugh expected Harbaugh ball too until he was like, whoa, why is the tape not showing me what this quarterback can do? Huh. Okay. That means if I'm not looking at the tape to see what this quarterback can do, is anybody else looking at the tape to see what this quarterback can do? That could be a pivot of the season.
This is a stray shot for JJ McCarthy here.
It is.
No. It's in the sense of, you know, I've said this about, if you have it doesn't matter where you are, college or the NFL. If you've got a great quarterback, you're going to let him do great quarterback things.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't think Harbaugh knew he had a great. I think he knew he had a really, really good.
But even then, say if you wanted, you could say really, really good. At Michigan, they're like, well, no, that's Michigan ball. It's black and blue, and we run the ball.
I love guys who like football.
But it's like, no.
I do too, Jim.
No, if J.J. McCarthy was really good, you would have let him throw the ball more than 13 times a game.
Guys that like football, they like me back.
Harbaugh looks at his offensive line, even with Rashawn Slater out, and goes, you know what? We still got a pretty good offensive line. Quentin Johnson has figured out that he actually can play football. Keenan Allen has been a nice rebirth. Ladd McConkey, he's a guy who loves football. You know what we should do? We should let Justin Herbert throw the ball. Oh, so our running back doesn't tear his Achilles. Now you really got to lean on him.
Yeah.
So somebody texted in that Justin Herbert played with a fractured ankle and all these other things. Justin Herbert never played with a fractured ankle. He sprained his ankle.
Ribs?
He did have the rib damage. And that's, again, I'm not questioning Justin Herbert's toughness, but this isn't a guy that's out there shooting Toradol week after week after week.
Well, also the rules have changed from Favre and Steve Young.
But you know what I mean. Like, again, I'm not questioning Herbert's toughness, but I don't look at him and go, that's a dude that is going to die on a football field. You know what I mean? Like, those guys are so few and far between.
I think what I'm starting to say is I'm starting to see that.
I think he's a guy that is a winner that can legitimately compete for an MVP title. Like, I from what we've seen in the first couple of weeks, yeah. I'd say him and Allen have been the two best quarterbacks in the league.
If you want my overreaction of the NFL.
And Baker. That's probably your three best quarterbacks.
If you want my overreaction in the NFL 3 weeks in, which quarterback do I want in the NFL right now? It's real hard to say no to Herbert.
It's hard to say no, but I'm taking Josh Allen every single time.
It's a lot closer to me, I think.
That's fine.
I think I take Josh, but it's a lot closer for me. All right, loaded third hour. Don't go anywhere. Hang out with us. We'll get to 3-0 teams. Are there 3-0 teams that you're not trusting? Are there 0-3 teams that you kind of like a little bit? 503-864-6326. Give me your thoughts as well, plus 10 toes down. We're taking any and all questions. Well, we'll throw down unequivocal answers for you in a loaded third hour here on a Thursday. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.